With that beautiful context, we're going to go to our second scripture lesson this morning, which is equally beautiful. The Word of God in all of its glory, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles and signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." May God add his reading to this holy word. So we find ourselves in Lent. We find ourselves in springtime, and life is breaking forth, even though somewhat early, I'd say. And we, of all scriptures, decide to listen in on the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, this Pharisee who came under the cover of darkness because, you know, he didn't want to see his fellow Pharisees to see him. But he did feel a deep, deep yearning in his heart to come to Jesus. And you wonder, as I was preparing for this lesson, you know, sometimes odd questions pop into your mind. Who recorded this conversation? Where did John get it? Was John standing around the corner hiding? It's likely, when you think about it, that Nicodemus himself wrote this down and treasured each and every moment, each and every line that Jesus spoke, and then passed it on to John, most likely. Because if he came by night because he didn't want anybody to see him, he probably chose a time when Jesus was alone, perhaps doing his devotional, which we know he did every morning. He would slip off, get up before the rest of the disciples, and go off by himself. And Nicodemus was probably there waiting in the shadow. And it all comes down to John 3:16, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world." We can thank Tim Tebow, who kind of brought it into the NFL realm, and now we have John 3:16, cloisters sometimes, though I haven't seen as many lately, and I don't know if people are getting screened as they go into these sports complexes or not, but we know John 3:16. In fact, the whole nation knows John 3:16, but do they really truly know it? I talked with the children about, you know, the true nature of that word love. God so loved the world. He loved us when we were unlovable, the Bible tells us, when we were yet sinners, vile in the sight of God. He loved us still. Do we have the kind of faith, the kind of strength of spirit to love that same way? The love is described in our Bible is a love which God has for us, a love that we are to have for our God and for our neighbor. If you do a little research on the uses of the ancient Greek word agape, you soon discover that it seems to have been virtually a Christian invention. It's a new word for a very new kind of love. Apart from the 20 occurrences in the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's almost non-existent before the New Testament. It draws its meaning directly from the revelation of God in Christ. It's not a form of natural affection. People have to remember that. This does not come natural. It requires some work. It calls for intensity. And it is also a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a matter of will. You can will to love, even those you dislike. It's a love that expresses itself, as I told the children, in action. God sent. Jesus died. Whosoever believes. These are words of action. So the love of God has for you and me an intentional love, a conscious decision to regard others with affection and take any action necessary to promote their life and welfare, even if it means both suffering and even death for oneself. That is the nature of John 3:16. So how do we take it to heart? You know the saying, if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but you teach a man to fish and he will eat the rest of his days? I think the same is true for God's love. I can stand here every Sunday and feed you the Word of God and you will understand God's love intellectually. And to some degree, you'll be fed spiritually. At least I can hope so. But if I can somehow get you to experience God's love and teach you how to access that love each and every day of your life, I've turned you into someone who knows the fullness and the depth and breadth of John 3:16. You will never be spiritually hungry again. The secret is experiencing that love of God, finding that path that leads to all of the rewards and challenges that God has for you as a person in day-to-day relationship with God. And of course, again, we emphasize that the great secret in that word is relationship. The first step in any relationship is reaching out, making contact. And one of the hidden truths behind John 3:16 is that Jesus Christ represents God reaching out to us. God sent his only Son. We didn't request him. We didn't seek him. He sought us. And he was sent by God to make contact with us. And that's why we're gathered here this morning. So what's next? In the context of our scripture lesson, we have a great example of what's next. Nicodemus, as we said, came to Jesus at night. He came to respond to God reaching out to him through Jesus. He came with questions he wanted answered, but Jesus gave him answers that he didn't ask for. He didn't even know what he was asking. And Jesus told Nicodemus that if he wanted to enter the kingdom, He must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus goes through the literal sense of that. Another way of reading that scripture is says you need to be born from above. It's another translation. You need to be born from above. He needs to repent of his sin, enter the cleansing waters of baptism, and receive the Holy Spirit to be born from above. They were talking about this in Sunday school class this morning, about what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And suddenly you become a totally new person born in that love of God. Now, John's gospel did not record Nicodemus' response to Jesus' words, did it? But we learn later on in the gospel story that Nicodemus is one of the people who took Jesus' body from the cross and at great expense prepared it for burial, made sure he was laid in a safe place. Again, in Sunday school, in a sealed tomb. We ask ourselves, was Nicodemus born again? We have some clues. If love is an action word, then Nicodemus, first of all, showed love for Jesus right away after his death. And we can suppose that something happened to Nicodemus in the interim between the scripture lesson where he came by night. And the 3:16 that happened after the crucifixion of Jesus. He experienced the love of God in a very personal way. And I know he did it just as I know every one of us can experience it today. What happened to Nicodemus? He surrendered himself to God fully. When we talked to, a Sunday or two ago about thinking of your life and your soul as a house. It was an old Presbyterian women's program that likened our soul to a house, and we invite Jesus in, but we don't let him in every room of the house, do we? We keep some things in the closet hid away. But once you let him in, you begin to surrender your ego. Maybe it doesn't happen momentarily. It takes some time. It takes time for that kind of love to permeate your soul. You surrender your pride, your possessions. And finally, when you reach a certain point, you're like the Apostle Paul. You said, it is no longer me who lives, but Christ living in me. He examined himself and honestly confessed his sin before God. He wrote down each sin on a long list, writing in bold letters all the things that he needed to be forgiven for. And then he wrote forgiven over all of them, and he burned them, which is what each and every one of us should do. Confess it, forget it, and let it burn in the burn pile. And then Nicodemus probably made restitution to someone who he sinned against. And perhaps he forgave those who sinned against him. He maintained a constant relationship with God through prayer and Bible study. He took every opportunity to gather with God's people to fellowship and worship. He looked for opportunities to act out the love that he had for God and the love that he had received through Jesus. And finally, he prepared himself to tell the good news of the gospel to those who did not know Christ. Yes, that's how you truly know John 3:16, and that is how you embrace it. We have the example of Nicodemus. To God be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today to be John 3:16 Christians, to really truly take that kind of love to heart, to make it an action word in our lives day to day, and continue to help us open all the doors of our soul to the light of Jesus Christ. This we pray in his holy name. Amen.